Hello, my name's Jarman Edict. Hi, and I'm nervous as well, man. I'm an addict. I'm an addict in and out, through and through. I suppose I'll start. I'll just mention a little bit about my using. I was born with a disability. I was put on prescription pills at the age of 8, and I didn't have one day clean till I went into a detox when I was 27, and frightened the life out of me, so I went out using again. Ended up going through what I had to go through to get clean again, and was introduced to the rooms in that process, and came out and I relapsed again, but this time was, it was a relapse, because the first time I'd relapsed, I'd stayed the night in the detox. I stayed the night, stayed the night really. Left the next day and used. And I remember leaving that detox, throwing up and kind of really. My legs were crippled. I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. And I crawled out of there on my hands and knees, and the staff wouldn't help me. And I pushed this little bag that I had out of the detox on my hands and knees. I called a cab and I got home. Got back to my squat, and I called my dealer. So I had 24, a night of abstinence I had. I suppose the longest time I ever ate clean, all the time I was using, was on a Sunday. I've done what I had to do, and I remember, I came out of there and I had a week off medication, and I left there because all I wanted was to get clean. I just wanted to detox and kind of carry on with the same life I had, but without the drugs. And it made perfect sense to me. It was a lifestyle that I was used to. It was everything I was used to, despite how miserable and how painful and how disturbed I'd become mentally. It was so normal that all I wanted to do was get off the drugs and carry on the same lifestyle, because it was all I knew. I relapsed 2 days after coming out, because I went to visit my ex-wife and my son, and the guilt and the shame was devastating, and I relapsed. And for the 6 months of my relapse, I never done half as much drugs as I did all them years of using, but in my relapse, I got worse, my life got worse, my mind got worse. And I was in hospital more times than I'd ever been. And a half wanted to be there, and a half didn't. And half of me that didn't stayed in touch with a drugs worker to get me help again to get clean and to detox. I tried on my own detox and I couldn't do it. So I got the help, and I got the help, and I was introduced to ANA again. And I remember being, H&I was wonderful, because they came into that detox, and there was the first meeting I went to in that detox. I'd been to some before using. And the first day of my 6 month relapse, I went to a meeting after the hospital. Was the first day I relapsed, and I went to a meeting. And I remember being in that meeting, throwing up, falling off the chair, spilling my coffee, and I couldn't really hear a thing. And it came to newcomers' time, and I shared for about half an hour. So I don't think I'll have any problems with the 40 minutes today. But I remember kind of been really devastated, and when I was sharing, I was crying my eyes out, and I wanted people in my life, the right people in my life, and I wanted approval, I wanted love, I needed love, and I swore blind that I would never use again, and I just wanted to say them words so people could be my friend, just so I could have a friend. It really saddens me to say that. And I got a lift off this couple, and bless him, he was talking to me and giving me all this recovery spiel that I did not understand, and I was straight over my head, and I was sitting there, yeah, I was thinking, shut up. But we got to my house, and he said, just don't use for the rest of the day and start getting clean tomorrow. And I went, yeah, went indoors and used. Carried on using for 6 months, but I went into this detox, H&I come in, and that fella walked in to take the meeting, and I thought I recognised him from somewhere, but I thought it might have been a fight when we was using or something, and I slagged off in, I said, oh, them NA, nah, they ain't got a clue, nah, they didn't even talk to me, blah, blah, blah. And after a meeting, he said, I gave you a lift at that meeting. I went, oh, God. And I ran out the room really embarrassed, you know. But it was true. And that's what I really want to share on, really. I want to share on the fact that working this program, my experience of working this program, I'm becoming more able to be of love. And that's what I want to talk about. Because love was shown to me from day one in the rooms. From day one. I wanted it so badly, and yet I pushed it so far away. And it can still be like that today. So that's why I'm saying I'm working hard to be of that. Loving and being loved. Working through the steps is kind of, you know, it's really kind of, I heard someone say it cracked me wide open, and it did. It cracked me wide open, and it cracked me wide open to the ability of letting love into my life and the ability of being courageous enough to start expressing that love. Because for me, that's, naturally, that doesn't go that easily. So there I am in the meetings, trying my best to stay clean, and I'm finding it very hard. People are giving me their number saying, call me, and I'm thinking, why would I want to call you? Why would I want to call you? And I wanted to, deep inside, I wanted to, because I wanted just at least one friend that cared. And I couldn't see that all my friends were in the room and they all cared. I couldn't see it. And step one, I've heard a few people sharing it, and I have, you know, read through the book, but there was one thing in step one where it said, you know, that we were miserable without drugs, and I was very miserable without drugs, and I needed something. So I had no drugs, so it was became pornography, it became PlayStation, it became bizarre, but I became really, really kind of obsessed over chamomile tea, because it was the closest I got to a heroin hit. So, but, you know, it became all these things outside of recovery and outside of myself, and it was outside of recovery because I had no recovery. And step one showed me that I had no love, and I didn't know how to love. Step two showed me that I was looking in the wrong places for love, and it still shows me that I'm looking in the wrong places for love. Um, a power greater than me that will restore me to sanity is this program. This is my understanding, my personal understanding is this program, and you are that you are part of that program. You're a channel to that program. Step three is really kind of big one for me. It was a big one for me, and it's still an emotional one now, but it was a big one for me. You know, I couldn't get my head around God. And when people mentioned, when I heard, started to listen to what people were saying, and they were started to say, "I love in God," I thought even worse. I lost a lot of people in my using, and when I came into recovery, there was no way that I was going to believe in something like that. And my first sponsor, he said to me, "Just keep it very simple, you know." And I suppose my first understanding of the word God was, you know, a tree. It was always there. It was always there, and it wasn't going to run away from me. It wasn't going to run away from me. And it was kind of, yeah, it was a tree. and I kind of, then I, my second sponsor, because I finished my first one because he was still on his step four. I had no idea about sponsorship, but he's a lovely man and he's still a friend of mine today. And my second sponsor, he said to me, "Step three, get on your knees." And I went, "Bollocks." I said, "I'll get on my knees the day you strip naked and run around Brixton." And so that wasn't going to happen. But he said to me, "Step three is very simple." He said, "Just do a bit of service, get out of yourself and be of service to others." And I couldn't quite understand it. I said, I thought, "What the fuck has that got to do with God?" And I worked through all the steps with him, and I kind of got an understanding of the fact that, you know, we open ourselves up in a 12-step program. We open ourselves up to our loving nature, to a way of being of love. And being of service is being of love. It's not about me today. I don't do service for me. It helps me, but I don't do it for me. I don't go there intentionally for me. You know, it is about the newcomer. It is about everyone else in the meeting. So that is being of a loving nature. Getting out of myself and being of service to others. My third sponsor, which is a sponsor I've got now, and I plan to keep him. I plan to keep him for today. But he said to me, "Let's keep it very simple, step three." He said, "Try turning your will and your life over to the spiritual principles of this program." And it made sense to me. It made sense to me. Because I'd gone through the steps before and I'm going through them again, it makes perfect sense to me. And that's what I understand of God to be. God to be a loving nature that channels through people, through a spiritual program, showing me and guiding me through my life and my difficulties with the spiritual principles of this program, which I need in my life. The negative ones, I have to still really work hard sometimes on letting go of them. Step four is just looking at myself. It's looking about how I am. It's not about my resentments and who I hate. Not I think it is, but it's about me looking at myself, and it's a moral inventory of myself. It's not an inventory of everyone else. It's an inventory of myself, and I have to look how I behave, how I act, how I think, what I do. I have to do this. It's important that I do this. my sponsor, I remember when I was doing my step four, I said to him, I think I'm isolating. And he said, well, what are you doing then? And I said, well, I'm staying at home working my step four. He said, you isolate away because you don't know how to be with people, be around people until you start learning how to be. And I thought, you cheeky bastard. But he was right. He was right. I'm on step four and I do not know how to be. I do not know how to be. And it's making life clearer for me. I have assets. I have assets that bring people closer to me, but I have defects that push them away. And I need to be aware of this. I need to be aware of this because otherwise I'm not going to move forward in life. I'm not going to be of a loving nature and I'm not going to allow people in my life. And I might as well live out my fantasy that I had for years and live on a desert island and talk to the fish. I heard someone saying once that... I heard someone saying once that they had isolated for years and years and years, not really being a part of people, not really getting close to people, and they thought they had it sussed. They had no problems, they had no amends to make, they had no defects, they had no problems. But the fact of the matter is they did. You know, they were left on their own. They were left on their own. And I know what I'm like on my own. I'm depressed. I hate myself. I've got no courage to talk to people. I don't know how to talk to anyone. I lose myself. I stumble. And all I want to do is have sex with everyone and play the PlayStation. That's all I want to do. So being on my own really doesn't serve me. It really doesn't serve me. There's a lot more to it. I haven't got the time. There's a lot more to it. Step five is very simple. You know, I'm going to keep everything simple, but there's a lot more to it. Step five, basically, I'm sharing this with my sponsor. I'm sharing how I am, how I behave, how I do things, and how much pain I put myself in. I heard someone sharing about step four, and they said, I'm not a victim, I'm a volunteer. And it kind of rung, it made sense to me. And now I believe that I am a victim. I'm a victim to my own behaviour. I'm a victim to this disease. If I behave in certain ways and I do certain things, I am a victim of myself, my own self-will, my disease, everything. I am just a victim. And it's not a victim to anyone, from anyone else. I'm not victimized by anyone else. I'm victimized by myself. I need to get out of that. I need to know how to be of love. And then step four, and I'm reading it, I'm sharing my step five, and I'm not of a loving nature there. Six and seven, I find hard to share about because I'm still understanding them. But basically, quite simply, it's just a carry-on. It's just a follow-up from what I was just talking about. And in step seven, I'm learning ways to be. I'm learning ways to be, to become closer to people, to become a better human being, a better person. A nice person, a loving person, and open myself up to moving on. I'm losing myself a little bit, so my apologies. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on because I heard someone sharing once that step seven sorts out the boys from the men and the girls from the women. And as far as I'm concerned, 6, 7, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 sort us out. As far as I'm concerned, from my experience, step eight, I'm writing a list of people that I've harmed because I've got a good understanding of who I've harmed and how. From working the previous steps. So I'm writing my list. I'm writing my list out. I'm crying my eyes out. I'm getting in touch with pain. I'm getting in touch with pain. And the wonderful thing about being in recovery and having the support in recovery, my experience is that I have the support to allow myself to be of a human nature, to cry, to be angry, to be annoyed. You know, to be emotional, to feel hurt, to feel pain. you know. It's so important for me to feel all these feelings, and some I still can't identify. I need my sponsor or my mate to tell me what it is I'm feeling. But that's okay, because I don't really need to know what I'm feeling. All I need to know is that I'm feeling something. And sometimes I think I'm depressed, sometimes I feel like I'm this and that, and it's majority of the time it's quite simple. I'm just sad, or I'm happy, or I'm confused. And in step 8, I'm feeling very guilty. Step 9, step 9, it says about going out and making amends isn't just saying sorry, it's about being sorry. And you know, I've got to share this with you, because I get on really well. We're really good mates. Me and my ex-wife are really good mates. She hated me and I hated her for years. She used to kick the shit of the living daylights out of me. But we get on like peaches and cream today. You know, we really do. We get on really, really well. She was having an argument with my son a couple of weeks ago, and my son was saying, I'm sorry. And she said, sorry isn't a word, sorry's an action. I thought, wait, where'd you get that from? But but it is an action. You know, for years and years and years and years, I always said sorry and went and done the same thing again. You know, I'm sorry, Mum, for nicking your jewellery, but tomorrow I'm going to nick this and that. I'm sorry, sis, for using in your toilet. Tomorrow I'll use in your kitchen in front of your kids. Stuff like that. You know, I always was sorry and done something completely different or exactly the same thing. I always was not sorry. I didn't know how to repair things. I didn't know how to repair damage. I didn't know how, and still learning, but I didn't know how. I'm not going to go into great detail, so basically, you know, I'll just share about you on step 9, is I've got a wonderful relationship with my ex-wife who loves me dearly, and I love her dearly, but we're still exes. It's best kept that way. My son's a wonderful boy. I'm glad you mentioned your kid, you know, because I've got a wonderful relationship with my son. It's changed dramatically, and it's forever changing for the better. Step 10, I need to still keep an eye on myself, because I'm not cured. I was going to say yet, but I'm not cured. I'm not cured. I need to keep an eye on myself. I need to be changing all the time. I'm still learning in step 10. I'm still learning on how to be different, how to be of love, how to be of a loving nature, how to be of a good will, how to be of a good will. That's what I need to learn. There was something in step 1 as well where it said most of us, didn't walk into this program beaming with love, compassion, understand all the rest of it. And I'm still learning this in step 10. I'm still learning this, because on a daily basis I'm looking at how I am. And it's not about, you know, I was scared about step 10 because I thought I'd be analysing the pants off of me. And it's just, it really is. I mean, it's very simple for me. It's very simple for me. And 9.5 times out of 10, I think, anyway, maybe more will be revealed, but I think I don't harm people or myself. I'm actually really thinking about it. Probably about 7%. Six, seven, something like that. I'll get more honest after the meeting when I've really thought about it. But step 11, I've got to still be of a loving nature. I mean, step three, I've got an understanding that's kept me cool, that's kept me good, kept me safe, you know, being of service to others, and turning my will and my life over to the spiritual principles. Both of them go hand in hand. And the traditions fall in, but I don't really know much about the traditions, to be honest with you. My sponsor said when we finish then the steps we'll work through this tradition, so I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I kind of, step 11, I found it hard, or understanding how to quieten the mind and sit there umming and ahhing and it really is quite simple. I heard someone sharing once that, you know, we need to do it. All God wants is for us to talk to him. He's not really impressed with all that mumbo jumbo anyway. So I'll keep it really simple. And I've tried sitting there in lotus position. It hurts me legs, so I don't do it. But I've tried sitting in that lotus position on an hour in, and I can't do it because I start thinking I'm hungry. Shall I make something to eat? And shall I have a fag first? Or shall I wait till after? Shall I have something to eat now or after? What shall I do? Let me think about it. And so half an hour's gone and I'm still angry, I'm still dying for a fag, and I still haven't started meditating, so I can't quieten the mind. But I kind of, I keep it really simple. You know, last year I shared here, and I was going through a really, really bad time. Like I said, I was born with a disability, and this is a big part of me in my step 11. I was told that I'm losing my eyesight, and there's nothing they can do. I've got an appointment at the end of the month, and I'm scared. I'm scared. I kind of. And while I got that news, I was given step 11, and I couldn't really quite understand it. And there was something in step 11 which said it let go of control, and there was something else in step 11 that talked about feelings and thoughts and kind of quietening the mind. And I kind of, the understanding I've got of it today, which sits comfortably with me now, it might change by next week, but sits comfortably now, is the fact that all I need to do is just sit down and kind of, what I do is, when I'm in dire straits or something, I'm finding it hard, I read the NA basic text, I read It Works How and Why, I read Me Just For Today, and I do my little prayers. I'm not a religious person. It's not my thing, and I'm not judging anyone. I have sponsees of a religious nature, and so I kind of all I want to do is just quieten the mind and let myself feel. You know, feelings are a big part of us running away. And you know. Unfortunately, I'm a human being, I get feelings, so I kind of. So instead of wanting, I have a desire to run away sometimes. I really do have a strong desire to run away sometimes. I really have strong thoughts of using, like I mentioned, whatever, to escape, just for that moment. And in step 11 teaches me and taught me and still teaches me to just allow myself to feel. You know, I've had panic attacks walking down the street. I can't see at the side of me. I don't know what's going on. People bumping into me. People appearing from everywhere. I don't know where I'm going. I have to look at the ground because I can't see where I'm stepping. And I'm up like this and everything. And I panic. So I kind of lose myself. So what I do is I take a little moment out. And I allow myself to feel what I'm feeling. And sometimes I do, I sit there in the street and I cry. And the wonderful thing about crying in the street is no one's going to come up and go, are you all right, mate? So they don't interrupt me. So it's good. So they get scared. Everyone gets scared of crying. It's great. It's wonderful. So leave me alone. So I sit there and cry. And I do. I cry and I have no shame. I'm a human being. I cry. I don't love crying half the... I'm just going to lie again. I don't like crying 99.5% of the time. But I need to. I need to let myself cry. And that allows me to quieten the mind. And just be me. Just allow myself to be me. And let go of that control. let go of that control. I do not have to control the way I feel, and I do not know how. Don't need to know how I feel. All I need to do is just let myself be. Just let myself feel. And you know, once I cry, I can see things clearly, and it grounds me. And I'm on form. I'm on form. You know, call me up. I'm jumping all over the place. I'm right on form. And that's what's working for me at the moment. That's what's working for me at the moment. And that's okay. It hasn't killed me yet. So that's okay. Just for today, it's good. And I need, like I said, I read the book, I read the literature and everything. I talk to my sponsor, I get guidance, I change. I'm changing. So I've gained a way of being that I can share with others. And I've gained certain ways of living life, maintaining my life, maintaining my growth, maintaining my spirituality, maintaining my serenity, maintaining that loving nature. And I want to share that. And I want to apply it in my life. And I want to share that. And it's a very simple understanding of Step 12 at the moment. There's so much more to the steps, there's so much more, and I'd love to talk forever. How long have I got? Don't say forever.
Coming up to 5 minutes.
Coming up 5 minutes. So really, I want to say I do my best to be of a loving nature, to love and be loved. I do my best. I have some wonderful friends, and I do my best not to let my defects get in the way of them relationships. They do from time to time. They do. But I have the ability to, what's the word? Put a plaster on it. What's the word? Oh God, to heal that,
yeah,
to heal that. Car get lost sometimes. To heal that, I have the ability to heal that and get and be a better friend, you know, and be a better son and a better. I was going to say a better mum, but something I'm not telling you. Be a better father, be a better father, be a better brother, and be a better friend. And I have a few sponsees, and I love them all. I love them all. I've got 5 minutes. I love them all, and I try my best to guide them the best I can. I can't do their recovery for them. They know that. I tell them, I can't do their recovery for them. But I'm doing mine and I'm okay. I'm okay. But I am there for them, and I am there for them all the time, except for when I'm really sleeping and my phone's off. But I am there for them all the time. I go out my way. I go out my way for my recovery as well and for others, you know. I travel all over to do service, all over Britain. I've got passports, so I can't get anywhere else. I'm working on that one. I do my best to come out of myself and be of service to others. I try to be of a loving nature. I do my best to maintain my lifestyle. I'm going to laugh then. I've got to tidy my flat up. Man, bloody hell. What the point? I'm thinking of getting a cleaner in. I've come to acceptance around it. So I try and maintain a spiritual nature within myself. I try and maintain that serenity. I do my best. I can only work to the best of my ability, and my ability is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm growing in recovery. I'm growing. I'm becoming a man. I'm becoming a man. I turned up today and someone said to me, he said, "Oh, you're looking very boyish." And I said, I feel very boyish. It's lucky I don't feel like a teenager, you'll be in trouble. I feel very boyish, I do. I feel very, very cute and small, and I need a hug.
That's how I feel today. I've had an emotional day today. Recovery is worth, it is worth being in recovery. I've been clean a few years, and I have one had my moments of wanting to use drugs. And I've had my moments of wanting to use other things. But it really, really, really is worth, if you're not clean, getting clean. And if you're clean and it's your one of your first meetings or your first meeting, it really is worth coming back, staying clean, and getting some numbers and just cracking out the steps, 90 meetings and 90 days. And it really is worth being in recovery. It really is. My life has changed. I've changed a lot, you know, and I have some wonderful people in my life. I'm looking for help in the right places quite a lot of the time. So I'm getting better. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks.